We should actually start with the Nats before we move on, oddly, because there's some significant news out of the Nats clubhouse today. They made their second pre-trade deadline deal, and there is continuing to be smoke on whether or not they're going to deal Mackenzie Gore, one of their two all-stars, the ace of their pitching staff. You know, I'm on board with trading him.
Same here.
I think it's going to be really difficult for the fan base if they do. Gore, after one of his worst starts of the season, who's been struggling lately, admitted after the game that, yeah, he is seeing a lot of the rumors and doesn't want to say that it's affecting him. He said, but I'd be lying if I told you it's not something I've been thinking about. So maybe his final start as a National, maybe the final pitch he ever threw was a two-run home run that cost him his ball game today, and he got removed right away.
Yeah, so you thought about that yesterday. Well, Mike, the Nats have played twice since you and I last spoke to the folks, since last evening, two games. Michael Soroka really struggled, not a great final audition, if there is such a thing, heading into the trade deadline. There's been some speculation around him, probably not as a starter for a first division club, but a useful arm. Velocity down, curveball was as bad as it's been in months, so that wasn't particularly great for his stock and value. And Mackenzie Gore, a name that obviously is bigger, it supersedes one start today, or a couple of hiccup starts in a row, quite frankly. This is a top of the rotation, maybe not a true one, maybe a two. Who cares? You still have to pitch big games, and you would if you went and acquired Mackenzie Gore. But, yeah, it's certainly not his best stuff. And, you know, this was one of those things that I don't want to say we thought we outgrew, GP, but got squeezed, I thought, on what could have been a strike three call. You're not the first pitcher to ever have that happen to you. The next pitch is the most important pitch. Next thing you know, home run, as you said, day unravels, and you know, and kind of off we go there. But, yeah, he's a human being. I mean, you can't help but see those things. These guys aren't dumb, right? You get to the major leagues, you kick around a little bit, you sort of see the score, and a team that's 20 games under 500 after the loss today, that's kind of spinning their wheels. Other guys have already been traded, I think three so far on this, just on this road trip since they left D.C. Yeah, you could certainly do the math, and that speculation has to enter your mind. It has to enter those kind of private conversations or text threads and things. It's human nature, and it's normal.
Yeah, he is struggling with his command, is what I see. I mean, he's lost his breaking ball that was so dominant at one point. This is probably a command and control issue right now. He just hasn't been as sharp post-All-Star break. And I think it has a lot more to do with that than the fact that he sees some tweets that say he might get traded before his starts. But the fact is that right before the break here, he's had a few of, you know, his worst outings of the season. I should say the deadline, less the break. But I think he's going to be fine. He's either going to be in Washington and he's going to get his act back together. He'll be traded to a contender. And we'll know as of tomorrow because the deadline is set for 6 p.m. tomorrow for Mackenzie Gore. In the case of both him and Soroka, who you mentioned, a start, two starts, three starts, none of that's really going to be a factor. If a team is interested in those players, it's because of the stuff that they have, the ability that they would have if you added them to your rotation or your bullpen. Results, certainly in a small sample especially, just don't matter that much. But I do think the velocity for a guy like Soroka could be a hindrance.
I think it has to be, right?
Yeah, just because you wonder, is the arm okay? The Nats are saying it is, but when you're down 2-3 miles an hour over a couple of starts, generally that's, you know, precursor of some issues. So I'll be curious to see if they can get something done with him. I do think they'll trade Josh Bell. Fascinated to see if they move Nathaniel Lowe, who's under contract through the end of next season as well. But the trade they made today, Danny, was a really good one because you dealt two guys that aren't going to be here next year, who both were here for a cup of coffee as passerbys, basically. And you got two minor league players that are controllable for a combined dozen seasons. I mean, this is exactly what Mike DiBartolo 100% should be doing. For those of you that didn't hear about the trade, the Nationals shipped relief pitchers, Andrew Chafin and Luis Garcia, to the Angels. Now, again, that's pitcher Garcia, not infielder Luis Garcia. Chafin's a lefty, Garcia's a righty. Chafin was signed in season as a 36-year-old to help just batten down the hatches and
just steady the ship a bit, yeah.
Glue things down as the bullpen was falling apart. Luis Garcia, the reliever, actually recently touched 100, has been throwing 99. He's pitched 10 times for the Nationals, 38 times this season. I mean, he was literally here for hours. I mean, he has barely been on this team. So to put Chafin and Garcia together for the Angels package to go get Jake Eater, who's a 26-year-old lefty who was at one point in time a decent prospect in that system, and Sam Brown, who's a first baseman in Double A, I think is brilliant. Neither of those guys is probably going to amount to much. There's a good chance Brown is never a regular starter at the major league level. Eater has pitched both in the bullpen, major league level, and as a starter in the minor leagues. 10.3 strikeouts per nine, by the way, as a starting pitcher in the minors, indicative of some decent stuff. Went to Vanderbilt, was a highly recruited player, fourth round pick in 2020. So it's the kind of guy with some upside that you want to grab, frankly. You throw Brown into the deal, who's 23 and a double A. You get anything for the Chafin Garcia return. I'm going to be excited. And to get a guy who could be in the major league soon in Jake Eater, and someone who just you add to the system to create more talent with Brown, what a win for DeBartolo.
100%. So if you've ever played fantasy sports, you know what one of these looks like, right? Regardless of your fantasy sport, you pick a guy up off the waivers who's, you know, just out there for anyone to pick up at any point in time, and he plays well for you, and you include him in a trade to somebody else and get something that helps your team, whether it's this year or in a keeper league for the future. That's literally what happened. These are scrap heap guys, with all due respect. They're big leaguers, but Andrew, anytime anyone wanted to sign Andrew Chafin, they could have. Same with Luis Garcia. Readily and easily available, incredibly low cost. Anything that you get back for someone that might be here in the future, part of the system, as you said, even if it doesn't, you know, put a hot air balloon to raise the tide of the system, this is the right thing to do. They should be doing this throughout, and it's kind of been a staple, frankly, of even with Rizzo here over the last couple of years. You sign guys to these bargain basement deals, hope they do okay for you, and you know, you send them on their way after they give you 100 games of hopefully decent baseball, getting a chance to play or pitch every day, you know. And this is the strategy, and this is very, very smart. No championships are won today, no banners, no one's throwing a parade for this kind of a trade, but it's just good, smart baseball decision making, where you probably got a little bit worse today for a team that's already plenty worse. So yeah, you're already about to drop a whole mess of games. That's already done before this trade, same with after the trade, but it is smart.
It's two times now that they've done this because of the Rosario deal earlier this week. So three players traded that were not bolted down, that were pending free agents, that are what I would consider to be seat warmers, seat fillers. Rosario, Chafin, and Luis Garcia, the pitcher. And they have gotten back four minor league players.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stopping short of saying prospects. I think Eater's the only guy who's really legitimately ranked any kind of a prospect in baseball. And he's at 26 now, having pitched for a couple of years in the majors, even on the fringe of that. But you do add minor league players to your system to create competition, to just stockpile as much talent as possible. And that's a strategy that can be beneficial. Sometimes you get a guy back, you have no idea what you're getting. Maybe Eater turns into a helpful lefty reliever. But they have four players that have come back, mostly between AA and AAA, three of them. One of them's a teenager who's been shut down with an injury for the rest of the season, who's in the Dominican Summer League and is a long ways away. But maybe a couple major league relievers for next season out of that deal. So anything that they can do to trade the veterans from this bad team, to your point, in a lost season where wins and losses right now just have not ever really been this insignificant. Because it's not even like if they lose, it's better. They are already a bottom five team in the sport at this moment, and they can't pick inside of the top nine. Remember the every other year philosophy now of the Major League Baseball draft. They had the second pick, got Dylan Cruz. Then they weren't allowed to pick in the top nine and got the 10th pick and took Seaver King. Then they won the lottery this year, picked first. Well, now, because of the CBA and the lottery, which I hate in Major League Baseball with all the quirky rules, they again will have to sit out the top nine because of the market they're in and the payroll and some of these other things. And so the best they can pick, they'll probably be on the clock at number 10 again. So even by, like, people that are going with the Wizards, tank, get the number one pick, the Nats can't even really control that part of it. So the wins and losses are borderline irrelevant. I care about things like James Wood getting out of his rut, C.J. Abrams finishing strong, if Mackenzie Gore is here, him not going into a second-half tailspin like he did last year, Jake Irvin not falling apart in the final month like he did. You know, these types of storylines as you project forward. But trade Rosario, check. Trade Chafin and Garcia, well done. Next up should be Kyle Finnegan. Josh Bell, absolutely, move him. Soroka, going to be a free agent at the end of the year. What can you get back? Add as much minor league talent as possible, because the cupboard, while not completely barren, is just not looking like what you want it to. They are a below-average minor league system with a big league team right now that is near the bottom of the standings.
GB, this is something that I'm going to care about that I bet you will not. I rubber stamp everything that you just said. I agree with you 100%. The wins and losses aren't relevant per se when it comes to draft position. It's not like the other sports. The baseball's rules are terrible in this regard. I hope they get changed ASAP. I understand the sentiment of not wanting teams just to be perpetual bottom feeders, and you have to incentivize something. But the way they do it is ludicrous. Make it so you can't pick first 2 years in a row. Let's compromise. Let's say the Nats finish with the second worst record. The best they can do this year would be fifth. Something like that. This nowhere in the top nine or whatever is ludicrous and it's insane. Here's the other part I care about, though. I don't like the ability, or I'm rooting against the ability, for someone internally to be able to go, you see, the problem was Rizzo and Davey. I don't want that to just be the scapegoat or the excuse when something is systemically broken here. So to me, the losses matter in the sense that I want no one to be able to hide at any point in time. I want no one in the ownership suite to be able to go, you know, we actually did a really good job this year. If it weren't for those two dinosaurs holding us back, we'd have been a lot better. Look at how good we were in the month of September or something like that. That's the only thing that I'm the slightest bit concerned about. Is it's very easy to blame the deposed kings and rulers of your program, right? So that's the only other thing I say when it comes to the wins and losses don't matter. They do a little bit in that regard to me as kind of a cynical, irritated, ticked off fan of the club. But analytically, everything you just said is correct, and I would rubber stamp it.
Yeah, so they'd won three in a row after their opening game win over the Astros in this series. And at that time, they'd won 5 of 7, including 2 straight series. And they had a chance today had they have won this rubber match with Gore on the hill, which going in on paper against a guy with a high ERA.
You feel pretty decent.
It felt like you had a chance to win a 3rd straight series. Now, it didn't work out that way. They get clobbered. And by the way, if your ERA is over 5 and you pitch against the Nationals, congratulations on your quality start.
Have a day.
Your 6 or 7 really good innings where you don't give up any runs, enjoy those. Your career performance. I mean, it is such a lock.
Yep.
Next time you see a guy with a ERA close to a touchdown pitching against the Nats, jump on FanDuel and make yourself a couple of bucks if you
seriously
can.
The Dylan G All-Star team grows every day. It looks like a guy throwing cracked wiffle balls out there.
They're bad in general, but there are two scenarios where they are at their worst. One, is it a day game?
Yes.
They will lose, and they will likely embarrass you in the process. They are, I believe, 13-33 in day games right now this season. It is unbelievable. Getaway day, they can't wait to get on the plane. I mean, they're fining people for contact, it feels like. But the second thing that I would say about this Nationals team where they are at their worst is, are they facing a pitcher who is overmatched and doesn't belong in the big leagues? Because if they are, oh, he's about to carve them up like a pumpkin on October 28th. I mean, it is unbelievable how bad they are. When they face good pitchers,
yep,
they hit them and they score. Joe Ryan this week, who's an all-star, who's got one of the best ERAs in the league, they knocked him around like a boxer who, you know, went out partying the night before. They just left him bloody in the middle of the ring. But my God, when they face a dud of a pitcher like today, does it get ugly for this offense. But anyways, you would reference that you kind of don't want to see them string a bunch of wins together because then you start scapegoating and they don't make the changes they need to. I just don't think it's going to work that way. You know my opinion. I don't think they're going and really making wholesale changes as it is. There is a very likely work stoppage looming in Major League Baseball. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
Next year is the final year of the collectively bargained agreement. Going into the 27 season, there will need to be a new CBA. There is major acrimony between the players and the agents, the PA, and the sport. You all saw the story of Bryce Harper, Mr. Tough Guy, getting in the face of the commissioner in the clubhouse nose-to-nose and telling them to get the bleep out of their dressing room, right? That is just a small microcosm, a small look into not Bryce Harper being a punk, which I guess you could say that was the case in that moment too, but the fact that players right now cannot stand the league and the way they're trying to operate with the implementation of, say, a salary cap and some of these things. So I bring this up to say, Danny, if we're really going toward a work stoppage like everybody assumes, I don't think the Learners are going to go out and hire some hotshot executive for $5-7 million a year to then pay that person not to work. I think that they would continue with what is going on now, which is, especially if DeBartolo, who's made 2 pretty good trades so far, can get a good return from Mackenzie Gore, or if he flips Bell and he flips Lowe and they have a successful next couple of days, they will have seemingly crushed it in the draft. We'll see if the players are any good or not, but the philosophy was brilliant. They got all their guys signed with the savings of taking their favorite player at number one. Then they will have had a quality deadline. I thought when they went to DeBartolo, he had a really, really good chance of keeping the GM job. Now I'm convinced of it just based on the fact that I've got to convince myself otherwise that the learners are going to pay an executive not to work for several months. Who's a hot shot, who's one of the top execs in the sport that they brought in. You think they're doing that? I don't.
No, I don't either. I think status quo is the name of the game. And I guess what I should be more clear with what I'm trying to say. It's not just the GM position. It's the everybody gets to say in the organization, from the marketing intern to baseball ops to the ownership C-suite to who runs the team store, who the person in charge of concessions. Everybody's going to get to say, see the problem. It was Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. We fixed it though. Now we're good to go. And everybody gets to kind of keep going back to the status quo. That's what I'm more referring to, right? It's a bit hyperbolic, but it was always the then Redskins sort of mantra and way of doing things. Dan would trot out the new savior, whoever that was, right? And then things would go badly, and then that person would get scapegoated, and we'd find the new villain, or we'd find the new hero with the new white knight that would come in, etc. And that's what I'm basically saying. Everybody over there needs to be looking in the mirror at all times as if to say, what I was doing wasn't good enough, what we're doing isn't good enough, what can be better? And not just be able to hide behind, well, our record was better once we fired Rizzo and Davey Martinez. That's all I was referring to. But you're 100% right. The substantive change that is required from the billionaire family to make those kinds of introspective looks into things and to be able to say, hey, I need to do something different, good luck waiting on that.